This is Issues 2023. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Sedgwick County Manager Tom Stoles. Hey, welcome to Issues 2023 again, Tom.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be here.
In August, the County Commission approved its budget for the coming year. What's your spending peg, and how does it compare to years past?
Our total budget for this year, and you keep in mind with a county government budget, there are many facets to it. There is a general fund budget, which is, you know, your property taxes coming into county system. And then there is a healthy dose of grant or pass-through money from the state of Kansas. And then there's also a separate county fire budget. So there's three moving pieces to this, but the total of all of those is $546,200,009 between all three of those entities, which is comparative to last year. We've been, you know, basically above $500 million now for the last 3 years. Everyone knows this year the valuations went up on property, so the property tax increase, there's more money being generated from property tax. But this budget lines up pretty closely to the previous 3 years regarding total amounts.
You know, and you point out something interesting there, because a lot of that money that's in your spending part, you don't have much control of any, right?
That's correct. A lot of it, over half of the county budget is passed through from state of Kansas. County government is a conduit, you know, boots on the ground for state systems. And I'll use, you know, the health department, for example. There's a Kansas Department of Health and Environment. Our health department is a conduit of that, and a lot of the funding that comes into our local health department comes from the state. It is prescriptive, and that's how we're confined on how we have to spend that money. The commission at the end of the day has discretion over general fund dollars coming in, which is, you know, about a little less than half of that total amount that I just gave out. And that's where they have discretion through the budget process to try to spend money wisely.
Now, let's point out again, though, that although folks may have seen their property tax bill go up, the levy has not gone up, correct?
The commission this year voted. We went from 29 point and some fractions of a mill down to 29 flat. They actually reduced the mill levy amount in the county. And a few cities across the county did that. But that was the commission's reach out to try to, you know, give some of that money back to taxpayer on the valuation increases, so that they always look for opportunities to do that.
Beyond a property tax, what other sources of revenue does the county have, Tom?
We get some sales tax, a percentage of a 1 cent sales tax, but that money is earmarked half for public works projects, roads and bridges, and the other half is to reduce the mill levy. That goes into general fund. So there's a component of sales tax. The county, like a lot of governments, has revenue generating operations within it, such as EMS and ComCare. There are charges. The clients who employ those services pay a percentage of those services. So there's revenue income coming into the county. So it's a little bit of everything. There's grant, there's sales tax, there's property tax, there's revenue from clients that we're providing services for. So all of those dollars go in to make up what becomes the county budget.
How is Sedgwick County government involved in bringing that new state mental health facility online?
That's an interesting partnership that we started with the state of Kansas, and I'll tell you how we got involved in that. For years and years, Steve, for as long, even when I go back to my career in law enforcement, we've had a need of a state facility, a psychiatric facility here in at least this region of the state, because the other two state-run facilities are 2 and 3 hours down the road for law enforcement of Sedgwick County to access. So we have been asking for a generation for some type of component here in Sedgwick County. And finally, within the last couple of years, this has become reality. It's going to happen now, finally. And it started with the state Spark money, which was available. The county put in, applied for that state SPARC money for this purpose, for this state psychiatric hospital. And from that application has developed a really good partnership with the state of Kansas and Sedgwick County. To the county will take on the role of building this, facilitating the logistics of building this, but at the end of it, it will be a state-run facility. So the governor appointed an executive board to oversight this. We had our very first meeting yesterday, and now the work begins. We're going to be looking for land or an existing facility that would meet the needs of a 50 to 100 bed psych facility somewhere in the county or in the region. Could even be out of the county. Could be in a neighboring county, but somewhere probably in Sedgwick County or in this region will have a state psych hospital. But it's a really good, we're getting such good cooperation from the state on this particular endeavor. And a lot of our local legislative body has been involved in that and has assisted greatly. It's going to be a very good and much needed asset for the community.
You know, and this is a facility that I'm sure will have an immediate impact, and you'll feel it in law enforcement, in the jail, and places like that.
Yeah.
But the general public, will we notice much difference? Do you think, Tom?
I don't think so, Steve. It really is geared. It's geared for the criminal justice system. We have so many clients in our jail who have psychiatric issues and/or substance abuse, or a combination thereof. And this allows, so when they come into that facility, they cannot go through a criminal justice system until they get some type of medical analysis or review, and then some type of treatment also concurrently with this criminal justice aspect. So the sheriff has people in his jail who have been waiting over a year for this type of service. So they're locked in this situation where they can't progress in a justice system until their behavioral health needs are met. This facility will free that up, so it will help the sheriff, the jail population. It will help the court system move more quickly with defendants. And at the end of the day, here's the most important part. It's what's right for people. To have people set and languish, and they've clearly got issues. They clearly have psychiatric or behavioral health issues, and to let them make them languish in a jail for weeks and months, and in some cases over a year, is just not right by people. So that's the goal here. But the general public, I mean, unless they're paying attention to the jail crowding situation or the injustice that some people have to feel when they go through this process, they're not going to feel the bump.
Beyond the aspect of mental people with mental problems and so forth, what challenges face the Sedgwick County Jail?
Besides mental health?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, it's just, and the sheriff does a good job of keeping that population at a manageable level. And our jail was built, it's getting old now. That's another thing. I think people think that the jail is new. It's over 20 years old. Jails being built today are different. They're state of the art. There's a lot more technology in jails today, and the sheriff is doing the best he can with what is becoming a rapidly old facility without the kinds of technology. And the county's spending a lot of money on that jail. We're putting in a multi-million dollar camera system into it so that the sheriff can efficiently run it and use minimal staff. That's when you ask about his challenges, I think his work staff is still the biggest challenge. He still has 70 detention jobs open today. And then I think, and he'll tell you this himself, but the kinds of crimes that people are committing and the kinds of inmates he is housing today compared to 20 years ago, vastly different. The jail is full of violent offenders today. Gone are the days of the shoplifters or the minor warrants being held over there. These are individuals that have committed serious offenses. They're waiting for their day in justice, and that's making up his population. That in and of itself gives him challenges.
Is the employment situation improving at the county?
It's better. It still was our number one challenge as we talked about our 2024 budget. We've seen things improve slightly in the jail. We've seen improvements in ComCare, our mental health provider, some improvements in corrections. So we're moving north, but we still have challenges.
I'll just switch gears a little bit and ask you about tag offices for our vehicles. How many vehicle tag offices do we have in the county? How many do they operate?
Our county treasurer operates two brick-and-mortar facilities, currently one on East Kellogg and one at Douglas and Meridian. She's running some satellite experiments in Park City, and I think she's starting one up in Derby. Brandy Bailey is our treasurer, and she's done a very good job. She's innovative in her thoughts and is not scared of doing business a little bit differently. So she would be good to talk to from someone like yourself and tell you about her plans. But she's currently running two main facilities, but running two ancillary facilities as beta tests to see what it would be like to get out into the community.
Do you have any idea how many people they would serve in a typical day through the tag offices?
It's a lot. And they have they have an NQ system now where you can try to get on and get an appointment set, and it works pretty well. But they're wall to wall from start of day to end of day. They're seeing as many people as they can. There's very little downtime in any of these tag facilities, the main two or the two ancillary facilities. But it is, and part of her challenge also is, like the rest of the world, is she's got staffing issues and she's trying to keep her chairs full. It's very challenging for her, but they do a really nice job.
You're listening to Issues 2023 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Sedgwick County Manager Tom Stolz. Any progress in finding a new home for the county administrative offices, Tom?
Well, that's on our list of things to do, Steve. We've got so many things happening right now, and I'd like to circle back to behavioral health at some point if we have time today. But we are very close to a solution on behavioral health system discussion, so that's highest probably on the list. But the admin building is up there. The commission will be discussing this publicly within a month. We'll have a staff meeting in November. Right now, there's three options on the table that the commission wanted further analysis on. One was we have contract on the Murfin building there at 2nd and Water, which is just south of the Epic Center Tower. We're giving due diligence to that building. The second option is a new build in the area of 3rd Main, right north of the Epic Center, right south of City Hall, and look for an admin new structure there. And then the third option is to remain where we're at and just look for a longer-term lease from the building that we are currently in. This building is working out very well. People like it. We hear good comments from citizens coming in. So that would be the third option. And at the end of the day, those three analyses will be given to the commission in a staff meeting in November. And then if there's synergy amongst the commission, we'll bring that to a vote shortly thereafter, and we make a move forward. So hopefully it's coming to an end, and we'll have some type of answer.
What's being done to prepare for the new Integra semiconductor manufacturing facility?
Brett Robinson, who is the CEO of Integra, was at the Economic Development Conference last week, and he gave an update. So far they're of course waiting on federal dollars to come in, the CHIP grant, where the local governments are prepared to just take care of the infrastructure around that big of a project. That's streets and curbs and gutters and sewers and all of the infrastructure and traffic issues that kind of complex would create in that environment. So we're ready and poised. We're on standby now, waiting for these dollars to materialize from federal government, and I think that will move forward.
ComCare deals with mental health and drug issues daily. Is ComCare funded properly, Tom?
I think their funding model now, Steve, is so much better than it was a few years ago. The state gave them a special status, and they're able now to get a little bit more Medicare, Medicaid rate coming in. So their finances today are vastly better than they were even 2 years ago. And I think that's why we're seeing their staffing improve. We've increased the pay for those clinicians and those people that serve that community. We have a community crisis center that the commission 4 years ago put a CIP plan together. We're going to build a new crisis center. We put pause on that based on what was going on with the biomed discussion downtown, because we want to be part of that complex or near to that complex. So the funding for that facility, when you do a capital improvement plan 4 years ago with what has happened in the economy, we know that that dollar figure is going to probably have to increase. So the commission supported that plan. So I think their funding is adequate today. We've made a long-term commitment in the capital plan for that. And that's part of, I think, I'm excited because I think for the first time ever, we're going to have a behavioral health system that works in concert with private providers, with the Biomed campus, with our hospitals, and with ComCare to really recognize and serve people that are struggling with behavioral health issues. And there's a lot. There we have a lot of citizens and people that, you know, we work with and that are family members, and they have jobs and they have families. These are not people. These are people struggling through life that need some assistance. And I feel like we're finally recognizing that. I think there's been a paradigm shift on how we're recognizing that as a culture and just as society. And I think we're very close now to having a good system in place where if you need that kind of help, it's easily accessible and you can get good service. So,
has the county allocated all the federal pandemic relief money that you've received or are going to receive?
We are, of course, CARES is history. We've allocated all of that. We are winding down ARPA. ARPA has to be, the timeline on that is 12/31 of 24, so a little bit more than a year. And so we're winding some of that down. Our health department and a lot of the major players that got so much of the federal relief, they have been winding down already throughout this year. And we're watching COVID. Of course, it's not gone. It's out there, and we're trying to manage through that. So it's not like it's totally disappeared from our society. But we are scaling back on operations, are really pretty much back to normal. Of course, the county, any government, or any business for that matter, had lost during COVID. So there was some remedies within that grant money to replace lost revenue. So we've allocated some dollars there. It's such a challenge to manage that money, but I don't know what governments would have done without it. It really carried us through, and that's from the Trump administration and the Biden administration, really helped carry governments through, and without having to raise property taxes or sales taxes or draconianly shut down services, we were able to continue to maintain government through that. But it is definitely winding down. We will finish it up. We have a presentation coming in November to the commission on our current spending plan status. And by this time next year, it will all but be over.
Is there any place for wind power in Sedgwick County?
Probably not wind power. And I'll tell you, just at the end of the day, the problem with wind power is we have so much air traffic. We have so many airports within the county footprint, and a wind turbine, as today, they are created today and as they stand today, are not to be within 5 miles of an airport. And when you do the analytics on that, there's a very small part of Sedgwick County that could even house one. So I don't think there is in wind. There is an interesting discussion going on in solar, where the commission has put a moratorium on commercial solar development until we can wrap our minds around any safety or health issues, economic development and growth issues, infrastructure issues with that kind of growth. So I think there's room for solar. The commission will be making that decision within the next few months. But wind, not so much, no.
You know, it's I saw something the other day, and I can't for the life remember what it was, but they seem pretty credible. And somebody was talking about the fact that you can probably create a nuclear power plant now that is safe and has disposable waste. And they were saying that maybe nuclear is the way, maybe it'll make a comeback. Have you heard anything about that?
No, not at county level. I think the country is going to have to look at all options for power.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me politically if nuclear gets back on a scale of discussion again. But I think it's fairly obvious that the United States is going to have to look at all sources for power.
Is the county converting to electric powered vehicles then?
Not as of yet. So much of our fleet is sheriff. The bulk of our fleet is sheriff and public works,
yeah,
and some smaller ancillary departments. Not yet. We don't run a transit system or bus system to that's a consistent user. And so much of our equipment is heavy duty. I think our fleet director and our public works directors are always keeping an eye out for that. When it becomes feasible, I think you'll see the county migrate toward that.
You've been Sedgwick County Manager now since 2019, and yeah, you already had a career before that. How long do you plan to keep going, Tom?
Not forever, but it's such an exciting time, Steve. We have so much going economically in the county, and so many challenges in front of us. This behavioral health system, I'm just really dialed in on that. The status with homeless and what's going on downtown, I find that an interesting societal problem, and I'd love to be involved in those kinds of things. We have grand plans for our juvenile justice complex down at Lincoln and Hydraulic that I'd like to see some of those through. But I don't have an answer to it. A lot of it depends on what the guy upstairs gives me as far as health and ability. But we'll wind it down here in a few years. But I'm having too much fun right now.
But, if you're involved like that and you really see that what you're doing personally has an impact, personally and professionally has an impact on your community, that does. That sounds like it's an exciting time for you.
It's a great. I mean, this is. We have a really good commission right now. There's just so much going on in the community. I love coming to work. I love our projects. Do I get frustrated? Absolutely. Do we move too slowly sometimes? Absolutely. Are there challenges and is it work? Yes. But at the end of the day, it's such a good time to be involved in the county and in the region and the state, because we have a lot going for us. So it's fun.
At the local level, your politicians are not always pointing at each other saying, well, you're to blame for this, and we're not going to do anything now.
So
it's nice to see them get along and working together like that. Hey, listen.
We try to.
We're out of time again, and I guess we'll talk again sometime soon, but thanks for spending some time with us this morning, Tom. It's always good to find out what's going on with the county, and you're doing a good job keeping your finger on the pulse down there. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it very much. Thank
you. I guess Sedgwick County Manager Tom Stolz, and that's all for this edition of Issues 2023. We'll be back next week. Thank you all for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.